So if you have your Bible with you, we're going to turn to Acts chapter 2, the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles, chapter 2. And we're going to read from verse 37. Peter is the preacher. It says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the songs of Zion and that which has been sung tonight to tell your children and your children's children. We thank you, Lord, there's even children to be baptized tonight who have made their profession in you, Lord Jesus. We pray, Father, for all who will go through the waters this evening, Lord, that you will bless them, that you, Lord, will take them through, and as they're, Lord, raised back up out of the water again, Lord, may they go forth and witness on great testimony of thy Son. We pray, Father, for all who are here to see and to witness it tonight, Lord, that something will strike their own hearts to encourage the believer, and even, Lord, to test the hearts of those who have not yet come under and through the command of baptism by full immersion in water. Lord, we pray for those maybe who are not saved, even as Andrew has prayed it tonight. We pray that you would speak to their hearts ere this night be over and save them for time and eternity, that they might realize there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun and a Christ to stand before. And, O God, that they would cry unto thee and be saved for time and eternity. Lord, we love you because you first loved us, and we tell you there's none like you. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we want to speak on, and I just simply put the topic down, why get baptized? Why get baptized? Maybe all of us, or maybe some of us, whatever faith you've grown up in, whether it's been a Protestant faith or a Catholic faith or whatever it is, and you've been maybe sprinkled as a baby. I was too in a Presbyterian church, but really it done nothing for me. I wasn't saved. So the sprinkling does not qualify you for the kingdom of God. So why get baptized? Baptism by full immersion is simply this. It is the believer in Christ, those who have come the saving faith in the Lord Jesus, are saying there's an inward work has been done in my heart. This is the outward profession, and hence they go into the waters, which is as a watery grave. And they're rising to newness of life in front of all to say, I am a Christian. I am following Christ. I belong to him, and I will eternally be his. And you're going on to follow him in faith, witness, and in testimony. In our reading tonight, the Apostle Peter says, notice verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, for ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I want you to note something. This is a believer's baptism. If you're not a believer and you were to say, I want baptized, as Pastor Michael said this morning, you'd be wetter but none the better. It would do nothing for you. This baptism is for those who have put their whole heart, their faith and trust in the Lord for their salvation. I want to look at a few things before we go any further then. Peter's been preaching in the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the early church. And notice in verse 23, first of all, he preaches the crucified Christ. The crucified Christ. Him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Peter's speaking to those in Judea, to the Jews
that gathered around them. Peter, speaking to them, says, it was your hands who done the deed, really, because you told the Romans to do it. It was of your own heart, hence Christ was crucified. So we have the crucified Christ, and even though they meant the worst for it, God sent his Son for the best of it. He sent his Son that he was crucified, that you and I might be saved, that you and I might be born again of his Spirit and washed in his blood by faith, that you and I might be forgiven of all of our sins. A man like me and a man or a woman like you. That we could be forgiven and that we would and could actually enter heaven should the Lord come or call us, and we were to leave the scene of time, and it wouldn't be a watery grave, but a grave of earth into the ground. Can I ask you tonight, have you trusted in the crucified Christ? Have you placed your trust in the crucified Christ? For in him alone is our salvation. In Christ alone is all that you ever need. It's not Jesus crucified plus me doing my best. It's not Jesus crucified plus me and my denominational outworkings. It's not Jesus crucified plus my good works and deeds and alms. It's Christ crucified plus nothing. Believing wholeheartedly that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will cleanse you from all sin. So it's in the blood of Christ, in the crucified one, that a man and a woman can be saved, and only there, according to God's word. So we have the crucified Christ. And secondly, we have then the resurrected Christ in verse 24, whom God hath raised up, notice, having loosed pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden off it. Here Peter, preaching on the day of Pentecost, he said to those around him, he says, Jesus was crucified that you might be saved. Jesus was crucified and shed his blood that you might be forgiven. And there's no other means nor method for the payment of your sin. Then he says, he didn't stay dead. We can take you to where traditionally is the tomb of Allah, or sorry, Muhammad, or Buddha, or Confucius. We can take you to their graves, but we can take you to a tomb which is reportedly to be the tomb, or likened onto the tomb of Christ. And he's not there. All the other ones are still lying. Their bones are lying in the grave. Christ has risen from the dead. He rose the third day. Christ is raised from the dead. And Peter, preaching this word, and it maybe even seems so strange to someone here tonight. How can this be that a man is raised from the dead? Sure, it even tells us. It tells us that Christ rose the third day. But I can't believe that. But it's essential that someone believes it for salvation. It is a grounding of our faith tonight that Christ rose bodily. Bodily. His actual body rose from the dead. And these people who are going through the waters tonight have been to the cross and trusted in Christ. Have been to the cross and are relying on the finished work at Calvary of the Lord Jesus Christ. The crucified Christ and the blood of Christ. And they believe with all their heart that he was raised bodily from the dead. It says here, whom God hath raised up. Tells us then, because that Jesus is risen, that you and I, because he lives, that we will live also. Even if we die and go to our grave, we will live also because he is alive. I'm glad to know tonight that I'm not going to a tomb where the bones of Jesus is lying. I'm not going to a tomb like other faiths say, where they go to Confucius or Buddha or Muhammad or anyone else, and here lies the bones. Even the bones of Abraham, of Isaac and Jacob, we're not going there. We can go to the tomb and he is alive. He is risen from the dead. Jesus is the crucified Christ and Jesus is the resurrected Christ. Then if you run on down the chapter, he is the ascended Christ. Verse 33. Peter's telling them, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted. Notice he ascended into glory. And there he is, our great high priest. There he is, the high priest who prays for you and for me. the high priest who keeps us by his prayers and presents us to his Father. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. So he's the crucified Christ. He is the resurrected Christ. Also, he is the ascended Christ. And then Peter says he's the glorified Christ. He is the glorified Christ. Verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. In other words, he has ascended and he is enthroned on high. He is glorified from his Father. Notice this gospel was strange to the ears of all who would hear. And they couldn't take all of this in. It's like many people today, no different. And there were people who detested the message. People who laughed at the preacher, Peter. People who would just not simply believe anything to do with it. But Peter, standing in the power of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, he says, Christ was crucified. He was buried. He is resurrected. He is ascended and he is glorified. He says, now tell all the house of Israel, go with the gospel. And the gospel went forth right down through the children and your children's children. As Billy was saying, the gospel came down to you and to me and to the candidates who are going through the waters this evening. I say to you tonight, friends, if you don't know this Christ, if you have never put your trust in this Christ, he isn't a Protestant Christ. He isn't a Roman Catholic Christ. He is the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He saves men and women from their sin, fits them out for heaven, and he will be glorified in all that he does. In verse 37, then, we see what they say to him. It says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Verse 37, we have a pricked heart. In verse 38, we have a proclaiming voice. Peter cries, repent and be baptized, every one of you. And in verse 39, we have a promised people. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. How does God call a man today? How does God call a woman today? Simple. He calls them by the preaching of his word. Just like you're here this evening. The voice of God speaks through the preaching of his word and in the power of the Holy Spirit. The exact same way as it was in the day of Pentecost. You see, in verse 37, we have a convicted people. What shall we do, they cry. Their heart was pricked. What shall we do, they cry. The term here for their heart to be pricked, it means to strike or to stun. It knocked them nearly off their feet. Ah, some said, who can hear these things? In fact, Paul comes along later in the book of Acts and they say, what will this babbler say? That's what they called him, a babbler. People maybe say, what's that babbler on about tonight? We're coming to see our loved one going through the waters. This is the same gospel. This is the same word. And Peter preached it, and it means to strike or to stun. And it is a word used of strong emotions. Peter was preaching, but yet he was saying to them, if God's word speaks to you tonight, if God the Holy Ghost reaches into you tonight, and you realize you're not right with him, and you're still in your sin, and you realize it doesn't matter what I do or what I try or what I go or what I do, that I'm still not right with God. And only by trusting and believing in what he has done for us at Calvary. Listen, you're not listening to perfect man or perfect singers, perfect people. We're sinners saved by the grace of God, trusting in the blood of the Lamb, yet elevated to sonship in Christ. You see, brothers and sisters and friends tonight, for the man and the woman who profess Christ as Savior, they can be saved tonight in their seat on the spot right where you are. So we have a convicted people. What shall we do? Verse 30, we have a convinced people. Peter's convincing them. Repent and be baptized, he says, every one of you for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And in verse 39, a promised people, it's a confirmed people for the promises to you and to your children. And to your children's children, as our brother Billy was singing. This word reached their heart. The word heart there is the word cardia in the original text. And it's where we get cardiac from. You know, if someone has a heart attack, it's a cardiac arrest. And that's talking about the muscle in the... But this speaks of the same, the life force. The very center of the man, the very center of the woman. You know the person who you are when everybody else is sleeping and your mind's thinking? And nobody knows but you, and the world is asleep, and you think only you are awake. That person. And the Word of God speaks and says, it's you. Speaking to you tonight. And so they say, what shall we do? It reminds me of Matthew 19. And the young man comes running to the Lord Jesus. And he tries everything, all his religion. Temple worship, everything. And listen to what he says. Good master, what good thing must I do that I may inherit eternal life? He thought he had to do good. If you and I had to do good that we might be saved, to do good that we might be forgiven, then you and I just needed to be better. Try harder. Live cleaner. But it's impossible. Even our very nature, the very man and woman who we are, naturally are in declension to sin. Every one of us. And he says, what should I do? Good thing. Tell me a good thing that I might inherit eternal life. And Jesus says, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Paul tells us there's none good, no, not one. And there's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God, he says. That's the Apostle Paul. Not one of us is good enough. And the Lord Jesus says, there's none good but one, and that's God. You can't do good. But when he died, you and I can be forgiven. You and I can be ready for heaven. Notice, if you will, this evening. They come to the Lord Jesus and they ask him, what can we do? What should I do? My heart's speaking. Preacher, what should I do tonight? I'm not ready. I'm not saved. What should I do? You can't do anything. But if God's speaking to you, he gives you the ability to repent. You know what repent means? Bad word, isn't it, today? Nobody likes to be told those words. You know what it simply means? Change your mind. I hate this gospel stuff. I hate this God stuff. You know, the God squad stuff. We hear it all the time. We hear all that stuff as Christians. It doesn't really fizz on us. It doesn't impress us any. We're not impressed by it. And neither is God. He says, change your mind. Change your mind about what you think about God. Change your mind that you think you'll live forever. Yet you're maybe at someone's graveside not so long ago. And it's always somebody else, but it'll be yours one day. Change your mind of what you think you can do to be saved and trust fully in Christ alone. Repent. Change your mind. It means come with earnestness of heart and say, forgive me. Lord, I believe that you've paid my debt in its fullness, and I trust in your work at Calvary to save me. and not alone. With a full, earnest heart. And be baptized. That's what some of the people here have been happening to tonight. They're going to be baptized. They'll go under the water. And the water closes over. It represents a watery grave, dead unto self. And when they rise up, it's rising to newness of life in Christ. In front of God. And all of these people. This word repent. Change your mind. Listen, when you repent, you're obeying God's command. Listen to Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. But God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. That means all men and women, by the way. It's not that God is asking. God's saying, do you want my heaven? Do you want forgiven? Do you want to be in glory? Then repent. Change your mind. That's the scripture. It's not the preacher. So when you repent, you are obeying God's command. He's told us we must repent. And then secondly, when we repent, we are causing heaven to rejoice. In Luke 15 and verse 10, the Lord Jesus himself says, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Even one person in CET tonight at a baptismal service who knows not Christ, realizes they're not right with God, gives their life to Christ, repents and changes their mind, heaven rejoices. Imagine somebody like me when I got saved. Somebody like you. Somebody like me, never out of trouble. Court cases and all sorts of arrests and all sorts of stuff. And many others that are in here tonight. He takes the guttermost. That's me, by the way. He takes the guttermost. And the scripture says he saves us to the uttermost. All who come to God by him. There's nothing you've done that God can't forgive. There's nothing you've done that God can't forgive. But you must repent and come to Christ. So heaven rejoices over someone like me when I got saved. And thirdly, when you repent, you're forgiven and you're cleansed from all your sin. Listen, Acts 3 and verse 19, Peter preaching says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Eh? Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. See the word blotted out? You know it gives the idea of your sins are obliterated. Even sins we don't know of. Even our very natures that we can't control. He says, when a man or a woman repent of their sins and are converted to Christ. Listen, see people going through the baptism tonight. They're not being baptized into Christ Encounters Tabernacle. Far be it. God forbid it. They're not being baptized into a church. They're being baptized into a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're converted to Christ. They're not converted to our church. They're not converted to this preacher or this pastor. They're converted to a person, into the person of Christ. And Peter says, when they've got saved, their sins have been obliterated. Gives the idea of being wiped away until it's spotlessly clean. Thank God, his blood still avails for us. Wipes away our sins, obliterated them at Calvary. And now, he's still wiping me clean. I must round this up. Thank you for your attention tonight. So the word baptize is baptizo. It means to immerse or submerge. It means to plunge. And baptism is an outward sign of an inward work. Baptism is a witness to the people of an ongoing with God. Baptism is you obeying the Lord's command and following his example. And baptism is accepting the revelation of the Spirit. Baptism is obeying the apostolic doctrine. And baptism is identifying yourself with Christ. So why get baptized? Snapshot. Why get baptized? One, you're following the Master's example. The Lord Jesus Christ was baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. Matthew 3 and verse 15, it says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." Jesus didn't need to be baptized. What he was doing was setting the example for you and me to repent and be baptized. So you're following the Master's example tonight. All you candidates are going through the waters. You're following the Lord's example. Secondly, why get baptized? You're obeying the Master's command. Matthew 28 and verse 19. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." So you are obeying the Master's command. And thirdly, why get baptized? You're coming under the teaching of the apostles' doctrine and the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38 in our reading tonight. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And fourthly, you're being baptized. You're showing your obedience to the Word of God. And you're showing that you're open to the Spirit. My last thought in our reading in verse 40. And I would say this to everyone who doesn't know the Lord Jesus tonight. I say this directly to you, especially tonight. Peter says, "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying," notice, "save yourselves." Notice, save yourselves. Not that you can save yourself, but it means repent and do what it was said. "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." See the word "untoward" there? It's an important word. And I want you to place yourself tonight in the generation in which we are living in. Just as Israel and here, the remnant of Judah, just as they were in deep-dyed sin in a society of secularism, ungodliness, unbelief and sin, so are we this evening. The word "untoward" there is a word, skolios. And it means crooked and twisted. Crooked and twisted. It's where you and I get the medical term scoliosis from. When a spine is twisted or crooked. Gives the idea of the whole spine and fabric of the land, of the nation, is twisted and crooked from the head down. And look at our land. Look what's going on in our land. The laws that's being passed in our land. Look at the turmoil. Look at the wickedness. Look at the evil. Look at the things that they're doing. Do you think the world can go on much longer like this? And if there was a message for you this evening, if there was ever to be a message for you, it is for this one this evening. Save yourself from this untoward generation. Save yourself from this crooked and wicked land. This generation which is crooked from the head to the very base of the spine. In other words, there's a crucified Christ for you. There's a crucified Christ that you might be saved and forgiven. There's a resurrected Christ who rose from the dead to justify you. Justified by his grace. There's an ascended Christ who's in heaven who will pray for you. You say, "I can't keep it. If I got saved tonight, I couldn't keep it." I know you couldn't keep it. You're right. But he keeps you. He giveth more grace. There's a Christ who is glorified and he's coming back again. But are you ready? Are you saved tonight? Maybe you find yourself here tonight and you went, I didn't expect that. Neither did those around Peter. But maybe you're sitting here saying, I'm not right with God. I need to get myself right with God tonight. I need saved tonight. Let's bow in a word of prayer for a moment, please.